Salt Lake yesterday, an elderly gentleman came up and he was looking for a place to sit, and he looked at me and he goes, "I've been retired for 22 years and I still don't know what I'm doing." Your honesty and humility when you feel like saying, "Help, I've no clue what I'm doing," will make all the difference. Let's take the last two words of this title. I'm doing. That's very important. I want to take those two words, make an acrostic, and talk about a few things that were a help to me when I was feeling like a little bird that was pushed out of its nest and fluttering and wondering what to do next. The first letter is I. Inquire. By all means, inquire. Ask somebody who is in your shoes presently, or maybe was at one time. There are tons of resources around you. It could be people, books, experience. When I was nominated chairman and feeling this way, I went to the former chairman and I wondered, okay, what do we do next? And he looked at my past and he said, "You know how to do it." And so that didn't help that time. But we had a big blue binder of former board meeting minutes that became very interesting to me. I started looking through there to see what this school has done through the years and certain months of the year. And that gave me direction for moving ahead with where I was at. Another thing I can't emphasize enough is the ideas and checklists for school board members. If you don't have this, you need it. Please, if you're on the school board, take one of these home with you. It'll be a big help. Inquire. So the next letter is M, meditate. In your meditation, stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. Abraham looked up, saw the stars, and saw a God with endless possibilities. In your meditation, stop and ask yourself, why don't I have a clue? Is it a lack of information? Is it a lack of education or experience? Then whatever you lack, pursue to possess. D, delegate. There's a lot that needs to happen in school, and you can't do it all. You have a team that wants to help. Use them. We were getting ready for a school picnic, and I was overwhelmed with planning this. And we knew we needed a relay race, but then we thought of a brother in church that would do good at coordinating something like that, and he took it way beyond what I ever imagined, and it turned out really great with parents and children and teachers all kind of in that together. That was a great thing. Optimize, to make the most of. Ephesians 5:16 says, redeeming the time. That phrase means making the most of every opportunity, since none can be recalled if missed. Optimize. The next letter is I. Invest. You need to invest time into the school and also prayer. Time. You know, that big binder of board meeting minutes almost perished in a house fire. Somebody suggested, we need an electronic copy. So then I took about 8 hours one day scanning and filing until now we have an electronic copy that we don't have to worry about perishing in the fire. Prayer. Invest in, give prayer to the school. Stuck in a messy situation, take some time to pray and get counsel, but don't drop it. Move ahead in calling a meeting with those involved. You might not have answers, but everyone will benefit from the prayer and the time you invested toward that situation. We once had a high school teacher that walked off the job 1 year in December. There was a lot of praying that happened right after that, and God worked a miracle. It's amazing. And nap. Set, that's a very simple word, NAP. But set a timer for 10 minutes, let go of everything, rest your head. You often benefit more from 1 to 2 days off than a 3.5 week vacation. Rest is essential. Go do something different and return with a fresh perspective. G, grow. Never stop learning. Life is exciting. Got a huge world with a creator whose ways are past finding out. You may not have a clue what you're doing, but someone does. And he'll come to your aid if you have a willing heart. When our two-year-old girl was going through leukemia treatments, at one point the doctor told us that we needed to, or she needed an injection once a week for 4 weeks, but we didn't have to go to the hospital to do it. He said, if there's two nurses that observe you doing it, you can actually do it at home. Can I see the needle? Oh, sure. It was short. Can somebody hold her? Well, yes, your wife. Okay. Nancy held her to keep her legs from kicking. Another deep breath. Injection. She whimpered. And then about that quick, she was ready for a lollipop. It was so simple, but it was a whole new thing for us. We actually were able to go home and administer chemo injections without an RN on site. Sometimes things appear overwhelmingly greater than what they really are. God always equips us for the callings he gives us. God bless you.
Another SOS call. Help. My teacher and parents are at odds. I don't know, it'll be interesting to hear you, school board members. What was your experience? I'm just going to give two scenarios. I kind of combined a number of situations in my experience in the past, and I'm going to give you two scenarios of calls from teachers. The first one, Miss Sally, teacher, first year teacher. She's got good goals, high goals. And she is pretty determined that all her students are going to have good grades. And she is going to do everything she can do to make that happen. Well, you find out that, get to school board meeting, and Sister Sally is telling you that Johnny has poor grades in English. He doesn't really seem like he's interested, and she's working hard to try to get him motivated. And she sends homework home, doesn't get done, and just is frustrated. Well, she has a PTA meeting coming up, so she airs her problem with the parents. Now, here's her time to just share with the mom and dad her frustration a little bit. I mean, she was careful, but she aired it. Well, dad says, you know, I never was very good in English either. And you know, if Johnny doesn't know how to diagram sentences or know some of those things, why, it's all right. If he knows how to, at least know how to do math and at least know how to, well, to read, that's good. He can be a pretty good farmer, and he could even be a good businessman if he would learn these things. So it's, you know, English to dad wasn't that important. Wow. That didn't sit real well with Miss Sally, that was planning on having all students with good grades this year. Well, she stewed on that for a little while, and the more she thought about it, this dad doesn't care, these parents don't care what I'm doing. She is generating all kinds of things in her mind about She is labeling these parents that don't care and don't care about what she is doing. They're not interested in school. Well, then we have a school board meeting. And at our school board meetings, the teachers share first, and then we try to ask questions and want them to feel free to express themselves. Well, this pressure cooker had a little pressure in it, and the pressure relief valve went off a little bit, and we could sense it. So, you know, the best thing to do is listen and find out what's causing the pressure. Well, Let's go on to situation number two. You got a ninth grade girl. You're actually, it's in a church setting where there's church stress. Unfortunately, there's, whether you want it or not, there's two sides. And pretty much without trying it, you're in one camp or the other. And it happens to be that the parents of this ninth grade girl are in one camp, and the teacher, who is a married man, is in another camp. Not a good situation to start with. Parents feel like Mr. Teacher is not treating the child fairly. And the student comes home and tells Mom, I was doing the same thing the other girls were at school, and Mr. Teacher made me write a 500-word essay because I was doing this, and the other girls got by without. Well, they were in the other camp, so of course they got favoritism. This is not fair. This teacher is not treating my child fairly. He's always picking on me, and he watches me like a hawk. Mom believes everything, and Mom sticks up for ninth grade girl. Mom goes to school and has a few words with teacher. Well, she informs the teacher that he's not treating her daughter kindly, and on, it gets heated. Well, you have a school board meeting. Teacher kind of shares what's going on. Well, these things don't usually happen the first or second month of school. Usually, it's a process, and usually pressure cookers take a little time to build steam. And usually situations like this take a little time. And it's nice if they go away by themselves, but they usually don't. School boards, what do you do? Just got a few quick things. Listen, listen, and listen. Allow the steam to blow. Find out. So important to hear them out. Don't take sides. It's very easy to take sides when you listen to the first side, and it's very easy to make judgments. Don't do it. Say, you just listen them out, hear them out, but tell them I would like to hear the other side. So you listen to her, the teacher, go to the parents, and find out their side of it. Let's go to that first scenario. And let the teacher know, after you heard the dad and he gave his reasoning and why he doesn't, he's satisfied with a little less than what the teacher is, encourage the dad. Listen, you have a teacher that is interested in the best for your child. And encourage the dad to encourage Johnny. Go to the teacher and let her know, we really appreciate your effort, your interest, but when dad's not really on board, keep up the good work, do the best you can for Johnny, but you're kind of pushing a chain. If dad's not on board, you're going to be limited. Your Johnny might not get all good grades this year. Well, quickly, check in later to make sure the steam isn't building up. This second scenario is a lot more complicated. School boards, remember, if you're a chairman and you are responsible for spearheading it, use the other school board members. It's so beneficial to hear their side of it. Sometimes they see through things that you weren't able to see. I've been blessed so much by that, just getting the input and share as a board. If you're a school board member and not the chairman, that's a nice position to be in. Let it up to the chairman. School boards, members, I've been in both places. Help your school board, your chairman. Do your part. Remember, there are different ways to see things. Try to do the best you can to look at it from both sides. Romans 14:19, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and the things wherewith one may edify another. Thank you.
Another SOS call. Help, my teacher is flaking out. When this topic was first assigned to me, I thought, well, what does that even mean? But it happens. It hasn't happened to me when I was on a school board, but it can happen. And I reached out to a few different of my peers to see what they thought about that, and I'll be sharing a few of those thoughts as we go through here. One thing that won't work, my uncle's old adage when he got into a tight spot was, let's cut around the corner and shoot for home. It's not going to work. I've really appreciated being here already. And probably the single most important thing that I want you to take away from this topic is that we need to cover our boards and our teachers and the situations we face with prayer. If we don't, we're missing probably one of the most important ways that we can work through the problems that we face. We need, we just need that. We need that help. So one of the subtopics was a developing physical limitation. That can happen. My daughter once went to teach the rest of a year for someone that had that happen to them. They literally couldn't finish the year. So one of the things that we can do, you know, it may need medical intervention. And if a teacher is new to the area, give advice and information because you're familiar with the surrounding settings to help as needed in the healing process. And, you know, if we can't find a solution and she needs a regular substitute, it's time to look for a replacement. It could be intentional or conscious neglect in the area of discipline and order, as we all know that discipline and order are a very important part of an effective teacher. And if it's not there, we need to help them find ways to get it, because we're going to lose a lot. The students are going to lose a lot. Or it could also be the teacher is unable or unwilling to teach the curriculum correctly. That's a problem. And so these situations warrant immediate attention and change if that's going on. Remember, as we heard before several times today, situations like these will not be resolved by ignoring them. Face them head on with prayer and getting together as a board and figuring out how to handle that. For many of us on the school board, we should be more involved, not less. And if there's an untenable situation with a teacher, as a board, we are responsible to make a line in the sand, so to speak, and give practical direction to a situation. It's not going to fix itself. It could just be that it's a struggling teacher, and we just need to help them meet our goals. You know, we can set timelines that if it's not remedied, we'll move forward as a board to maybe remedy the situation, change the situation. And this is something I got from a seasoned teacher principal. And I asked him the question, if a teacher flakes out, what are you going to do? And he said, first of all, he said the teacher needs to be listened to. And I thought that was a good perspective from us, or to hear from the teacher's side of it. They need to be listened to. Remove the caustic acid if possible, or use some salve to neutralize it. So, try to understand the issues that they're facing. Add or remove things that hinder and that neutralize. If they are failing to meet our expectations, just be honest and transparent about the situation. Just plainly tell the teacher, here's what our expectations are, and here's where you aren't meeting them. Sometimes they may just be clueless or don't know what to expect.
Our schools and the education of our children are far too important to allow a teacher to muddle through an entire school year of not being able to make the cut, or without teaching students knowledgeably and with enthusiasm. I think we heard that in coming through. Is, are we enthused about our schools? Are we trying to make our schools better? A complex situation with no apparent answer.
We'd better sit together and figure it out, hadn't we? As boards, it's our job. And I think a mature teacher is willing to and eager to learn how to be a better teacher. Remember, the ability to learn is a gift from God and should be properly invested in the lives of others. Thank you.
Good morning. SOS call. I'm alone in my vision for the school. I got a couple points, but I have a story first. A personal story. That happened probably over 25 years ago. I was on a mission. Before I say this, if there's people here that was probably involved or know something about it, it's long ways ago now, but it really blew up. And as I look back now, I can see all the things that could have been done different. But I learned some lessons for myself. I was on a mission. I was young, 20, 21 years old. And the people that were involved, it just started to fall apart. And there was no connections and backbiting and on and on. And there was a mission board, removed mission board, and they were trying to speak in and send in help. I'm the listener guy, so I got both sides. This guy has this problem, this guy has this problem. And it went on and on. And I didn't know how to fix it. I would take this problem back to this guy and say, well, he's saying this, you think he could fix this? And then back and forth we went. And this thing just kept blowing up worse and worse. You know, what do? 20 years old, people aren't getting along. It's the mission. So, process this stuff and trying to figure it out. And one day I was done. I said, that's it. I'm going home. And I called the mission board, said, I'm resigning. They said, thanks for your help. Caught a bus the next morning, a plane home. That fallout was intense for me personally. I ended up almost walking away from God. Like I said, I learned some things, and I ended up going back and talking to the board members, to the people, individually over the years, and rectified, put that back together in my mind, my problems, my things that I couldn't get resolved, and I'm friends with all these people. I think it was a good experience for me, but it was rough and tough. But I know what it's like when everybody's not on the same page. So the question that came to me when I read the quote or read the topic is, did Jesus ever feel like he was in this situation? And what did he do with those feelings and realities? Just a couple thoughts for you to think about and go home with. Number one, he kept his people in the loop. He continued to connect with them. You remember in the garden, he kept going back to the disciples and said, "Why are you sleeping? Are you still with me? Won't you watch with me?" He kept connecting. What's going on? Kept asking the questions. Another thing he did is in his whole ministry, as he had his disciples and he was working, he kept connecting with the outside beyond his disciples and was encouraged by that. He didn't necessarily just depend on his board to get him together. He actually was beyond that. He needed support beyond that. The last one, he spent a lot of time discussing these issues with his father. That was brought out pretty strong, but I think it's really important for us to remember.